Hello, and welcome to the special Christmas episode of Anime Audio Commentary. Today I'll be commenting on episode 23 of Oremonogatari. If you'd like to watch along, then start watching now. Alright, so this is something. It seems like Yamato got a day job at a... what would you call it? A bakery, I guess. I was almost going to say a cafe. And it seems like she's going to be working under someone. So with the last episode, you know, that business with Yukika ended pretty quickly. You know, I was sort of thinking that would be like the main conflict in these last few episodes, but it seems like that's not going to be the case. And I feel like Yamato's part-time job might be the issue. You know, that Ichinose guy... I mean, we only saw him briefly, but he sort of looks like that kind of villainous archetype, you know? I mean, maybe that's just what we're meant to believe, who knows? But it seems like he's a pastry chef, or something to that effect, and presumably, you know, he's in a position to teach Yamato, but there's got to be some sort of string attached, like, you know... you have to work 14-hour days and not spend any time with Takeo. I mean, it seems like that was sort of a condition going into this. You know, if she's having a part-time job, then, you know, just because time is a zero-sum game, there's less time that they can spend together. And, you know, Takeo, good guy that he is, he doesn't really mind. You know, they can still enjoy some time together. But it seems like, that's interesting, you know, that was sort of like a professionally made sweet, I guess, you know, whether it was chocolate or pastry or something. You know, I guess it is kind of interesting how he mentioned it was like a little sculpture. And, yeah, you know, everybody's saying this sort of stuff about... the various sweets, how, you know, it looks really beautiful or it tastes complex. This is sort of like the area of cooking where I just kind of tune out because, as far as I'm concerned, if it tastes good and it's reasonably healthy, you know, you don't have to take, like, the real highbrow route of making it fancy and doing all that, you know? Like, if it's something you do for fun, that's one thing, but, you know, when you have those sort of, like, snooty chefs who look down on people for eating ordinary things, like, that's. You know, I don't know exactly what word I would use, but I find it irksome. Uh, Oh dear, I think I might know where this is going. Yamato is clearly entranced by the baking and cooking and all of that, but I get the feeling he might take her fawning some other way. So I guess automatically, you know, this guy, he's fairly important, being sort of like the right-hand man of the owner, presumably like the sous chef or the, whatever it is, pâtissier. I think that's the French term. Yeah, you know, that's something, you know. He was in competitions and all that, you know, humbly bragging to Yamato. Okay, so, he's clearly interested in her to some degree. Alright, yeah, you know, I'm not liking where this is going, because Yamato, from what we've seen of her, she's very sincere in everything she does. And, you know, maybe this guy doesn't mean anything by it, but that's some criticism that I don't think she's going to take too well. Especially because it wasn't her intention to screw up. And in fact, you know, she didn't really screw up. This is one of those things where it's like, oh, you weren't upholding the high standards of our big fancy bakery. It's that sort of elitist mentality that I really find myself at odds with. You know, like, when it comes down to it, you're selling cakes and sweets, you know. Sure, they might be very nice, but, you know, I don't know. I'm sort of having trouble squaring the circle, because on the one hand, I do think it's important to take pride in your work, you know, to care enough about your job that you do a good job and as good a job as you can do. But at the same time, you know, sometimes you have to step back and realize that, you know, it's just a job. And as far as jobs go, it might not even be that important of a job. So, that's interesting that this coworker would sort of tell Yamato not to take anything he says to heart. Which, you know, I'm thinking, it puts me more in mind of Gordon Ramsay, you know, quick to say something harsh, but usually in a way that's deserved. Or usually when it's deserved, rather, not necessarily in a way that's deserved. But, I don't know, he hasn't been overly harsh or anything, just kind of terse, I suppose. So I'm just wondering, when precisely the other shoe is going to drop here. You know, there's very clearly something going on, but, I don't know, whether or not this ends up being the big problem, who knows. Okay, so, there's a bit of an ego issue here. You know, once he made cakes and tried to sell them, but they didn't sell out immediately. And that was, for him, a big crisis. And I think this goes back to my point of, you know, like, consider growing up. Like, failure is an important part of life. And, you know, not absolutely selling out. That's pretty small failure as far as things go, I would imagine, assuming you didn't manage to sell anything. So Yamato, in her infinite capacity for beneficence, she says, you know, sell the cakes, I'll buy whatever doesn't sell. And, you know, she doesn't have to do that, and frankly, I don't think this guy really deserves it either, based on what we've seen so far. That said, the way these customers are taking a gander at it, I get the feeling like it is going to sell out. And, okay. So he's very clearly gotten the wrong idea. You know, Yamato, she doesn't care about him in romantic terms. It's more like she's just a nice person to everyone. So, yeah, I think I know where this is going. He's gonna try and butt in. And, you know, I can only imagine that Takeo will feel some sort of insecurity. I mean, like, this guy, he's just, you know, considerably better looking, objectively. And he has a, I guess a hobby in common with Yamato. Yeah, I mean, I think it is remarkable that he just sort of called her by her first name. You know, that's, as I understand it, not just something you do. So that said, you know, I don't think Takeo has anything to worry about, realistically. I think this is just an instance where Yamato, you know, she only has eyes for Takeo, and therefore she doesn't notice what's going on. You know, I feel like if she did, she would say something pretty clearly. So, you know, at this point, I guess the only question is what sort of underhanded, nefarious things are gonna happen here. You know, this Ichinose guy, he's in, I guess, driven by his ego. So I'm wondering if, like, anything, even like a small rejection, if that would constitute, I don't know, like a crisis or something for him. You know, something worth causing trouble over. So, yeah, this is heating up, you know, because Yamato, she really loves her job, but she loves the job, you know. And, man, you know, I don't blame Takeo for being jealous. You know, it's certainly fair, especially seeing as how that guy's older. You know, he has a car and disposable income, whereas Takeo has, you know, not much to his name being a student. See, I'm hoping that this doesn't devolve into the usual sort of thing where nobody communicates and thus trouble occurs due to misunderstanding. I mean, there's already sort of a misunderstanding, I hope, in that Yamato doesn't know what's going on and neither does Takeo, but based on their observations, you know, it seems like one thing's going on. So it's interesting that the other girls at the bakery, you know, they are noticing that he's acting differently around Yamato. And it's like, you know, he might be a nice person after all. You know, that might not strictly be true. You know, if nothing else, I think this is a big time for Makoto to step up and maybe slap a little bit of sense into everyone. I do find it interesting that Takeo is worried about this being a sort of personal flaw, but, alright, yeah, Makoto's talking sense, you know. It's not unusual to feel like this in this situation. You're not a bad person or a weak person because of it. This is a perfectly normal reaction. And frankly, it's something you should act on rather than ignore. I mean, I guess this is sort of, possibly a flaw, I guess. Takeo is so nice that, you know, if Yamato really did like him, that he would, you know, just let it go. But, All right, Makoto's talking some real sense here, putting it in perspective. You know, Yamato's only been working there a week. You know, this is just a co-worker. It's probably nothing. Alright, you know what? Things are taking an optimistic turn. So that's, it's kind of worrying. Because on the one hand, you know, he's saying exactly what the owner wants to hear. And thus, you know, probably bolstering his career. But, on the other hand, he's only doing this because of Yamato. Which, you know, I guess it's nice that Yamato could positively impact somebody else's life. However, you know, he's basically intruding, you know. I mean, I guess they say that all is fair in love and war, but I feel like, I don't know. In his position, I don't think I could do what he is presumably doing. Yeah, you know, that's a nice little visual. Makoto sort of recognizing what's going on here. Even if neither Yamato nor Takeo know. And I guess this sort of cements it at this point. You know, Chinose is asking about who were those people. And I guess now that he knows, he feels compelled to do something. Although, wow. That was brazen of him. You know, I think Takeo would be fully justified to cave his face in for something like that. Wow. So he's trying to justify this whole thing. It's like, you know, I bake, I cook. You don't do any of that, therefore I am more qualified than you are. I mean, I would argue that Takeo is a better fit solely because he enjoys her cooking, you know. Cooking isn't something you have to do in pairs. Maybe it's a sort of instance of opposites attracting. Yeah, alright, he's kind of hitting below the belt here, saying, you know, you're a big, dumb oaf. Maybe you should find somebody more like you. You know, you could share hobbies and all that. That's, I mean, it's not that what he's saying is totally nonsensical, but Takeo and Yamato work so well together. Alright, this is rather insidious. You know, Takeo won't listen to him, but perhaps he would listen to Yamato if she decided to break up with him. And so presumably that's now his goal, you know. What a scumbag. And I guess the worst part about all of this is that Takeo, he's kind of buying into it a little bit. You know, Makoto is right, you should have talked back. And I would append, if only out of respect for Yamato. Yeah, you know, I'm wondering, I feel like if ever there was a time for some counter-meddling, it would be now. And Makoto and I feel like they're just the pair to do it. Yeah, you know, I think this is a rather serious symptom of what's going on, that Takeo sort of gave up the food and did not elect to eat it. All right, so this is, you know, maybe not a parable, but sort of, there's a pattern here. You know, I is familiar with how this could play out, and, you know, I'd imagine she doesn't want it to play out like that. Oh, no. So, you know, a sudden downpour, nobody has an umbrella. Obviously, Takeo plans to come to their rescue, but, Ichinose has a car. So, oh, dear. You know, it's a total misunderstanding. And, oh, man. So I guess, you know, if nothing else, Ichinose seems to be a bit more tactful with Yamato, not just sort of asking her to break up with Takeo, but instead, you know, asking her to spend more time with him for that competition. Which, you know, it's not an unreasonable thing to do, I suppose. But there's definitely an ulterior motive here. Ooh. That's rather heart-wrenching, especially given that context about what Ai's saying. You know, Takeo puts himself on the back burner. He takes care of other people first. Alright, well that's it for this episode. If you've enjoyed it, then by all means, tune in for the next one. Merry Christmas, Space Cowboy.